Well, I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 2, but only for primarily a couple of verses, and then we'll be jumping around throughout the scriptures. Well, I won't be jumping around, but we will be working our way through a number of scriptures. So I would encourage you, you may not be able to follow all of them that quickly, but I want to take a look at Luke chapter 2, beginning to read probably verse 10. Maybe 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, that is, the shepherds, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Now, oftentimes, cards at Christmas will have the phrase "peace on earth, goodwill to men," or just "peace on earth." And there's a variety of things that can come out of that. But I guess my question is, did Jesus bring peace to Mary's life? Or was it a little bit of an interruption, disruption? Did Jesus bring peace to her family, being expecting and not married? Did he bring peace to Joseph? Well, not at first, but then you start looking at the rulers like Herod. Didn't bring peace to Herod. He certainly didn't bring peace to the high priest or to the Pharisees or to the Sadducees as he began to grow up and to live among the people. He was not the Jesus they wanted. If you were here for the Christmas Eve service, you'll notice if you're missing baby Jesus. Well, they were missing baby Jesus, and they were missing the real Jesus because they expected a deliverer who would be all-powerful, would remove them from domination by Rome. That's not who he was. And yet he did bring deliverance. There were so many expectations, and yet so many things that caused questions and confusion. And so it was not what they expected. My Christmas was not what I expected, but I talked to all my kids. Well, I only have two, but they each have three. So we talked to all of them. One's married, so we got to talk to him too. And it was face to face on WhatsApp. But that worked. We could see each other. We could talk to each other. We could share together. And that was good. We enjoyed that. Most of the time, it was two of us elderly people just around our home. And that's okay. That's why we have a home. We like it, and we were able to be together. But you know, as you start to listen to the news and all of the things happening in the world, you have to recognize that there really isn't much peace. There's countries that are fighting within countries. They're fighting with other countries. Enmity just seems to continue. Rebellion abounds. Immorality abounds. And it's even being considered more acceptable. God's laws are being set aside. They're no longer relevant. They're not important to many people. In fact, sometimes I wonder why people celebrate Christmas when they don't even believe in Jesus, or they don't believe in God. And maybe they don't celebrate it. Maybe they just enjoy the holiday and the gift giving and receiving and so on, I don't know. But lawlessness is increasing and destruction is everywhere. It's not a world full of peace. But people talk about peace. There are some people who are looking forward to the vaccine that will give them peace and life. That's their hope. But there is a greater hope than that. People talk about these things, they look forward to these things, and yet mental illness is increasing. Anxiety is increasing, suicide's increasing, there's fears, broken marriages, emptiness, injustice, restlessness, purposeless living, people just confused. And the world doesn't have an answer. We're going to talk about peace today. And I took one dictionary, it's a modern dictionary, and I'll just take the definitions that it has. Sometimes it has words and definitions that I didn't even know the words should be in a dictionary, but there they are. Peace is the absence of war, the cessation of war, the absence of turmoil. Number two, freedom from civil disorder, public disturbance, quarrels, and dissension. Number three, public security, law and order, harmony. Number four, undisturbed state of mind, absence of mental conflict. And the last one, serenity, tranquility, calm, quiet. Now I read in Luke chapter 2, and you'll notice very carefully that the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Then verse 14, the angels, the whole host, began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Interesting that the verse that's quoted on Christmas cards is verse 14. Peace on earth. And they leave out the previous verse of the Savior. And I don't know if you're online watching or just those who are here, whatever the case may be, but without Jesus, there is no peace. Without Jesus Christ, there will be no peace. And I want to do an acrostic today of peace. I know some preachers do acrostics, some preachers do alliterations, some preachers do both. Whether or not you appreciate that or not, we'll see. But I want to do an acrostic on the word peace. And it's interesting that Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples before he died, said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I it to you." So as we begin to look at the acrostic, let's just be reminded that Jesus came as a Savior. He came as a servant. He came to save his own people. It said in Matthew 1:21, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Romans 10:9-10 says, if I confess with my mouth, or you with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Acts 4:12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And on earth, peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, they have peace. That's where we find peace. So the P reminds us of pardon. Pardon provided. We'll work our way through each letter. You remember in Genesis, as we were started through there with Pastor Peter, chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, I'm summarizing what was there. And God said to Adam, Adam, you're to work the garden. You're to keep it. Don't ever forget that work was before sin. It's not part of the curse. It's part of the responsibility and opportunity to work and to serve and to provide. So Adam, you're to work in the garden. You're to keep it. And you may surely eat of every tree of the garden. Now the Garden of Eden was beautiful. And what we know about it, at least from what I can understand, there was lots. But you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Do you ever notice after a rain, kids are walking on the street? There's only one puddle on the whole street. And where do they go? They could walk around it easily. And then you look at their shoes and you think, ah. But they go to the puddle. You know what? They had one tree they were not to eat of. And what did they do? Genesis 3 and verse 6. Adam and Eve disobeyed God, ate of the fruit of that tree. All the others to enjoy, and I'm sure they had enjoyed them, but they came to the place where they chose. She was deceived, but Adam chose to eat the fruit of that tree. And God said, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Now listen carefully what's written throughout the rest of Scripture. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, even so death spread to all men, all humanity, because all have sinned. That includes you and me, and you and me online. This is a truth that we have to grasp. In fact, in Romans 3, it says, there's not one righteous. No, not one. We can't get righteous ourselves. We need Jesus. And all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it says in Romans 3, 23. And Romans 6, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Exactly what God said. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, describes our life without Jesus. And it says, we are dead in trespasses and sins. We follow the course of this world that is following the prince of the power of the air, the evil one, the devil. And the spirit at work in the sons of disobedience. That's the life that we were living. And by nature, children of wrath. Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. But because of our hard and impenitent heart, we are storing up wrath for ourselves on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. What God said to Adam and Eve was true. They would die, and they did die spiritually, and later they died physically. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him, Jesus, receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Are you starting to get the message? Colossians 1:14, he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of light, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1, verses 8 to 10, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You see, the P of peace stands for pardon. Until we have forgiveness of sin, until we have that taken care of, we cannot have that relationship with our God. And that all comes through Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peace begins with pardon. I had the privilege of meeting a man who had committed a terrible crime and was imprisoned. And he got saved in prison, and he began to live for the Lord, and when he was released, he applied for a Queen's pardon, and he got it. And it expunged that from his account. He no longer had that barrier. Before, he could not travel anywhere outside of this country. But once that was followed through, he went to another country, the country of Colombia, South America. And there he served as a missionary most of the rest of his life. Many people came to know the good news of the gospel. God gives us pardon, gives us forgiveness. We are wiped clean. He pronounces us justified, righteous in Christ Jesus. That's pardon. And if you have never experienced it, if you don't know that you're forgiven, I pray that you'll hear the rest of this and that you might seek him while he may be found. The E, the first E, stands for enemy, enmity, and it is removed. The enmity between us and God. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22, it says, for in Jesus all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated, separated from God and hostile in mind, we were enemies of God, doing evil deeds contrary to God. He has now reconciled in his body of flesh, which he took when he was born as a baby. In that body, he took, and by that we have been spared. He died in our place in order to present us holy and blameless and above reproach before God. In Galatians chapter 5, if you want to turn to that, we'll be reading two passages in Galatians chapter 5. It's always interesting when you're looking for a book and it's moved. But it didn't move. Galatians chapter 5, let me read verses 19 to 21. You see, this is the works of the flesh. This is what we are like without Jesus. These are the things that can be present in our life. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. There's lots of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians, we'll be back to Galatians 5 in just a second. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and the first part of 18 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. That would be what we just read. The old has passed away and the new has come, and we're going to read it. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. That enemy removed. We're able to be reconciled to God. And then what is our look like, our life? What should it look like with Jesus within? But the fruit of the Spirit, when we receive Christ as our Savior, for forgiveness of sin, God's Spirit comes to live in us. And the products that the Spirit gives and makes in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires that we read first. So the difference between having Jesus and not changes our life. The enmity is removed. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus for forgiveness of sin, for his payment on our behalf. And God pronounces us justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Then we have peace with God. Enmity is gone. We have peace with God, not enmity toward God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 10 and 11 says, for if While we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation, peace with God. It doesn't take very long when you rile someone up and you have this enmity between you. But once it's restored, that peace is back and the enmity is gone. You have that relationship restored. That's what he's talking about with God. We can have a relationship with him that is enjoyable. We have peace with him. Enmity. We have pardon. We've been pardoned. We have the enmity that was between us is gone. And then we have abundant peace in Philippians chapter 4. We'll spend a little bit of time in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Some of you can probably quote this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Sometimes we have anxiousness and all those kinds of things because we don't go to God in prayer. But he goes on to say, and the peace of God. We already have peace with God previously. Now we have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, and it will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. peace of God. You know, it's one thing to have peace with God. That's first and necessary. But then as that develops, we can have peace with, or the peace of God. And it rules our hearts and minds. It keeps us on the steady. It's interesting how it's described. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And until you experience it, you don't, I didn't understand it. And I understood why it was past understanding, because I couldn't understand it. But once I got to a place where I had experience, where the things were falling apart, things were happening that you can't control, and if you're like me, you kind of like to be in control, you like to know what's going on, but when it's out of control and things are happening and you can't be calm, you can't be quiet, you can't have rest, you can't have tranquility, everything around you seems to be coming apart, that's when the peace of God takes over. And it just can overwhelm you in the midst of all that kind of stuff. And it does go beyond your understanding, because it doesn't make sense that you can be at all this difficulty and yet you can be a calm on the inside. I've encountered a number of people that are struggling with COVID, and they're struggling on the inside. They have no peace within. And they're fearful. And they're anxious. But this peace protects and surrounds the heart and the mind. This peace defends against the peace robbers like worry and fear. This is the peace that enables us to rejoice in the face of trouble and turmoil. This is the peace that soothes and quiets one's heart and emotions. It can calm the angered. It can calm the frustrated. It can comfort the sorrowing. It can reassure the concerned. That's the peace of God. But it's only possible for the person who is in Christ Jesus, who has already made right with God. Then the peace of God can come in and rule us from the inside. And even though we might walk around looking like our world is in place and we've got everything together, inside we're in turmoil. And maybe you're listening today and you're right here in front of me. And inside you're just being torn apart. You're confused, and everything inside is upside down instead of right side up. And maybe you're online and you're listening, and that's your heart. That's what's going on inside you, and you don't know what to do about it. God says he can give us a peace that passes understanding and can soothe that whole area of our life. Sometimes it happens quickly. Sometimes it takes some time. But he can do that, and he will do that. But first, we must be at peace with God, the enmity removed, the sin pardoned, forgiven. And then Christ, by his Spirit, begins to dwell in us. And one of the first three of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And the peace of God that's within us should impact our lives. And it should impact every relationship that we have with other people. So how are our relationships with other people? How's our relationship with God? That peace is abundant peace. It is so abundant that the peace passes understanding. The C for peace. Pardon was the first. The enmity is gone. Abundant peace. And the C is obvious. Christ, our peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace," Jesus said, "I give to you." Ephesians 2:14, "For Christ Jesus himself is our peace." First, he makes peace with God, then he gives us the peace of God. He died in our place to give us peace with God. He died in our place to give us the peace of God. He poured out his life's blood, was buried, and rose again the third day so that we might have that peace. And in 1 John 2, the last part of verse 1 and first of 2, it says, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins." First of all, the advocate, he represents us to God the Father. He paid the price so he can represent us. He was without sin, and he took all of our sin and the wrath of God on our sin, in his own body, so that we could be free. The word propitiation, one writer said, it is a sacrifice that bears God's wrath and turns it to favor. He took my sin. He took the wrath I deserved, and he paid it and turned it as God's favor to me. I don't deserve it, but he did. He bore that for me. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10, let me read it. Ephesians 2, verse 4. "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that," "in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, all shown in Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Romans 5:8 says, "God chose his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He is our peace. The last E, it's eternal peace. Eternal peace. Colossians 1:27, "God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." John 14:1-6, you'll know what it says. When he was talking to his disciples before he died, he said, "You believe it. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms or suites or mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." And then the last verse, he said, "And the way you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Colossians 1:5 says, "The hope laid up for you in heaven." Titus 2:13, "Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 1:3, "He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." May I just encourage you. The word hope is not a wish. The word hope is not some figment of one's imagination. It is an unfulfilled certainty. It is still to come, but it is certainly coming. Because Jesus said, if I go, I will come back. He did go. After he rose from the dead, he ascended to heaven, is at the Father's right hand. He is coming back. Is that the peace that we have? Is that the hope that we have? That when he comes, we will be ready to meet him. I want to close with a different rendition of the verse, John 3:16. Listen carefully. For God, the Lord of earth and heaven, so loved and longed to see forgiven the world in sin and pleasure mad, that he gave the greatest gift he had, his only Son, to take our place. That whosoever, oh, what grace, believeth, placing simple trust in him, the righteous and the just, should not perish, lost in sin, but have eternal life in him. I trust that everyone here, and I believe you do know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your confidence. But I no longer take that for granted, because I've preached to the same group of people sometimes, and then somebody gets saved. So I know that not every person, every time, everywhere that you speak is saved. And maybe out there where you're listening online, maybe you do not know Jesus. Maybe you're not ready to meet him. But folks, there is one certainty. We will die. And we have the opportunity to be with our Lord Jesus in heaven. Or we have the opportunity to be in the place called hell, prepared for the devil and his angels. Be careful what you choose, because the end is certain. I trust that you will do well in your choice. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we have covered a lot of verses in your word. And one thing I've learned, your Spirit promised to bless your word. May it be so today. And Spirit of God, as only you can, I pray that you would take these verses and drive them deep into the heart of anyone and everyone listening who needs to know you as their Lord and Savior. Don't give them any rest until they bow the knee and seek you while you may be found. Lord God, thank you. You are faithful to your word. You are faithful to your people. You love us. You provided for us, and you have given us peace with you and your peace within us. May that bear fruit. For your glory we pray, as the angel said, that you would receive praise and honor and glory. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.